We are going now to turn to God's Word as it is found to us in the reading that was done a moment ago. And I want to call your attention particularly to verse 9 of chapter 1 of Revelation. It is Revelation, is chapter 1 and verse 9. We shall take into account the whole chapter, what has been read to us, but particularly verse 9 where John says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patience and endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I'm sure you have heard about the Rosetta Stone. This is a rock stele now in the British Museum that enables archaeologists to decipher the Egyptian hieroglyphs, a milestone in understanding the ancient world. Likewise, the book of Revelation enables us to understand Christian reality, to understand the world as Christians that we are living, how we are to see this world. That is the reason why this revelation was given to John, that he was able to go to the churches, write to these churches, and be able to guide them as to how we are to see what is happening to us. This is so important that it is highlighted to us in verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. We need to live in what, according to what the Bible teaches us about reality. Unless we have God's word, we really cannot interpret things as they are. And we are presented in this book of Revelation with a number of things that we need to take to heart in order to be able to live for God's glory, how we go about in this world as Christian people. Therefore, we need to go to this book of Revelation and realize what is teaching us. And this is the key for us there in this verse 9. It's telling us really about how we are to take ourselves and how we are to conduct ourselves in this world. And it's telling us just three things that are very important for us to keep in mind. First of all, what we are to expect in this world as Christian people. What we are to expect in this world as Christian people. He says, John, your brother and companion in the suffering. There he is in this island of Patmos. He hasn't gone to this island just to have a holiday, as some people will go these days to these parts of the Mediterranean coast, especially now to Spain. Oh, no, no, he's not there on a holiday. He's exiled because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. He is suffering because of the gospel. And he is writing to these churches, and he is writing so that they may know something of the reality that also may come to our lives. What he's saying there is that tribulations, sufferings, is part and parcel of our Christian life. That is, if I can put it like that, the environment in which we breathe as Christians. And therefore, if you look carefully at this book of Revelation, you may know something about it already, you will see that often this word tribulation or suffering is mentioned. Because that is what we are to expect in this world as Christians. And I ask you, do you expect to suffer for the sake of the gospel? Do you realize that to call yourself a Christian exposes you to the anger of this world and Satan? That is what we have to take into account. The Bible is always telling us to realize exactly that this is happening to us. And it brings a lot of tribulations with that. We know, and we live in this comfortable, if I can put it like that, Western countries, where we don't have that persecution. We only have to take a plane to other parts of the world. We only have to cross, in our case in Spain, the Mediterranean coast and to find ourselves in great difficulty because of the gospel. That is what's happening in so many parts of the world right now. There are all sorts of tribulations that can come to our way. And we need to realize, my friends, that this is something that happens to us because we are Christian people. This is part of what it means to be a Christian. And therefore, when he is writing, John, to these churches, he's telling them from the Lord Jesus Christ about what sort of tribulations you may face in this world. All sort of internal tribulations that may come from difficulties that are brought to us by Satan thoughts, or these external difficulties that we also face from other people in this world. Do you know something about that in your own life? Do we know something of that reality of suffering in our Christian life? We have to take to account that reality that is there and realize there is no way to live the Christian life unless we are prepared to face this. It may come in unexpected ways in our lives, something we didn't experience at the beginning of it, but it will surely come in many ways. And we need to be prepared, my friends, to be able to face these sufferings. And as we think about those sufferings, the word of God tells us that we need to make sure that we are suffering for the sake of the gospel. I always enjoy how it is put by Peter in the first epistle in chapter 4 when he says from verse 12, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed with his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler." And this is telling us very carefully to look at the sort of sufferings that we are going to encounter, and we encounter. Are they true Christian sufferings? Are we really facing suffering and difficulty for the sake of the gospel? We need to examine ourselves. We say, "Oh, well, this has happened to me because I am a Christian." But are you sure it is because you are a Christian? "Oh, but in my workplace, they say, you know, you are a Christian, but maybe are you punctual in your workplace? Do you fulfill the work they have given you to do? Oh, do we pay our taxes? Do we really fulfill our tax towards the government? Oh, it's hard when we know so many people don't do it, but do we do it? That is a suffering for the sake of the gospel." I still remember when we put up the building in Alcázar de San Juan and we insisted upon paying all the taxes that the government was requiring. And the people thought we were mad. They thought, "Well, nobody pays, you know. Come on, nobody pays what you are expected to pay." And we were short of money. But we thought we needed to do that. That's a suffering because the temptation is always there not to live as Christian people. But we need to realize, my friends, that this is the sort of life to which we have been called. Are we prepared to suffer as John was, as our brothers and sisters are suffering in this world? This is what the Bible is telling us. That is part of this map of reality. Unless we face it, we are not living according to Christian reality. But he also says something else. He says, "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom." And kingdom. Well, what is this a kingdom? This is telling us that always we need to remind ourselves of who we are. Who are we? Who are we as Christian people? The Bible always insists upon this, that we always need to realize afresh in our Christian life who we are. Who we are. And according to God's word, we are a kingdom. We are a kingdom. That is a glorious way of expressing who we are as Christian people. What is this kingdom? Well, we have a sort of faint idea because we live in kingdoms. Well, this country is united, so far, United Kingdom. We live in a kingdom of Spain. I live in Spain. That is a kingdom. What is a kingdom? Well, it is people, people that God has made his own, by his own power, by grace alone. They have made his own in Jesus Christ. And now those people enjoy his blessing, God's blessing in Christ, by the Spirit and his protection. That is the kingdom. We are in the kingdom. Whatever your tribulations might be, you are in the kingdom. You belong to the kingdom. Do we realize, my friends, the glory of this? You are always in the kingdom. In the day in which you are suffering for Christ, you are in the kingdom. Always there. Nobody can take us from that kingdom. And that kingdom, the initiative of that kingdom is God's alone. We need to emphasize that. And that is a reference that is in the Old Testament, also in the book of Exodus. There in the book of Exodus, we are told about this purpose of God as he was taking his people out of Egypt. And he says there in Exodus 19 about this in verse 6, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And it's very clearly there that is God's initiative, because they could not get away from the Pharaoh. There was no way they could run away from Egypt. They were under the power of Pharaoh. They could not cross the Red Sea on their own. God had to open that for them. And the purpose is that they might be his own people. And we know now that that has happened to us. And this is the cornerstone of this kingdom in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But because there was a reference to the kingdom before this one in verse 9, what it says here in this text that was read to us in verse 5, how does he start? To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. That is Christianity. Jesus Christ has freed us from our sins, has washed us in his blood, and we are free indeed. So the way to come into the kingdom is only by Jesus Christ alone, by his work on the cross. There is no other way in which we can be brought to the kingdom except our sins are forgiven. We need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say to the Lord Jesus Christ, oh Lord, save me. I know you have the power to transform my life. What a mess my life is. But you promise a kingdom. For whom? For those who are in Christ. My friend, this evening, are you in Christ? That is the ultimate of all questions. Are you Christ's? Have you gone to him and asked that he might save you? There is no other name under heaven given to us in which we can be saved. There is only one name, and that is the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there is power there to save us, no matter what you may have done against God. There is forgiveness with God himself for those that are in Christ Jesus. And then we are made that glorious kingdom. Suffering, kingdom, and in the third place, patient endurance. Patient endurance. That is the other part of reality that we need to bear in mind. How do we live in the midst of tribulations? What is kingdom life like for us today? The Bible says it is patient endurance. That is how kingdom is lived these days for us. We persevere. We are in the kingdom as we endure for the sake of the gospel. As Paul, as John in the island of Patmos. And you see, this is clearly brought to us in the Bible. When he talks about the kingdom, it will tell us about dimensions of this kingdom. We are in the kingdom, already in the kingdom, but there's a reality to come. Not yet in the kingdom. Already, but not yet in the kingdom. You see, such a glorious realm that God has prepared for his own people. And there is a present dimension of the kingdom for us to live. And that dimension is defined by us here in the book of Revelation by this patient endurance. Again, if you know this book of Revelation, you will know how often that is mentioned, the need for this patient endurance. It is the oft-repeated word that comes to us. We live in this dimension of the kingdom in which we are reigning, yes, but as we suffer. But is not that what was anticipated to us in other parts of the Bible? When we think about King David, and surely we think about him, because he, the Lord Jesus Christ, came from King David. Was he not the king when he endured the persecution from Absalom, his own son, was still the king? And all that suffering, that exile, was he not our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King? And all of a King, all our King on that cross, here it is, the King of the Jews. How true? The King of the Jews. There in the midst of all his sufferings, my friends. And that is the same reality for us. We reign as we endure. We are made according to the images, to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is why we have been saved. Have you ever wondered why you have been saved by grace, by Christ? So that you may reflect our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a measure of likeness in our lives that we are to bear that image of Jesus Christ. And that is by endurance in the reality to which we find ourselves. No matter what happens, we endure. We endure because he is our King. And this, we really need to think about this carefully, very carefully, because we live in a world in which we experience that the people will have another world view, another mindset to what the Bible is teaching us. That's why we find it that is so important to come to God's Word regularly, so important to come to grips with what we are taught, because we need to remind ourselves all the time what this means. And I think it can be put in many ways, but I found it that the most powerful way of putting it, that we are not to live by appearances, but by the reality that the Bible is telling us, is concerning what we are going to remember next year. As you know, some of you will remember that next year will be the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And we are making a lot of that in Spain, because we want Spain to realize there was a Reformation in Spain, there was a Reformation in all of Europe, even in Spain. And what I found very interesting about the Reformation is to go into details about that. And what I found fascinating about a man like Martin Luther, how he developed in one of his colloquiums with right at the beginning of the Reformation, what he called two kinds of theology by which we face this world. The theology of glory, that is one kind of theology, one kind of knowledge of God. And the theology of suffering. That is what happened. The theology of the cross. The Roman Catholic Church, he will say, represents a theology of glory. By all appearances, this is what he meant. This is the true church. Look around. It looks like a triumphant, glorious church. But the true church of Jesus Christ lives under the cross. That is the reality. Martin Luther took that from 1 Corinthians. The cross is foolishness to this world. But for us is the power of God unto salvation. That is how we are to face reality, my friends. Not by appearances. Don't look at the appearances. Look at what the Bible teaches us. And this is put very powerfully to us here in this book of Revelation. When you go to the seven letters, what do you find there? Well, these churches are struggling. These churches are experiencing difficulties, tribulations. They need to be rebuked even by the Lord himself. But that is the kingdom. God himself, Jesus Christ himself, in the midst of his churches that are enduring in the midst of the difficulties. That is the true picture. These churches, you read in the next chapters, I say, oh, weak, fragile. Will I want to be identified with those churches? Oh, I want to identify with Philadelphia. But so many difficulties there. But God is with his churches. Christ is with his churches. My friends, we need to look at things by faith in what the Bible teaches us. Not by sight. Not by what we see that is happening, but by what we know to be true from God's word. Is that how we make an assessment of things? If we are to look to churches in other countries, in other continents, what do you think? Oh, is that really the church of Jesus Christ by this? As they endure all those difficulties, that's where the church is to be found. This patient endurance that is given to us. The Bible is very clear that is going to happen to us, to God's own people. Those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb will endure to the end. There is no question whatsoever about it. My friends, you may be going through a great difficulty at the present time. I don't know you. And you sometimes wonder and say, will I be able to endure? The Lord Jesus Christ has promised that you will. Why? Because he's promised. But this passage is telling us because he is in the midst of his own churches. He rules these his own churches. Isn't that wonderful what he says here? That he is in the midst of the churches. He is with us. In all our difficulties, in all our sins, in all our contradictions, in all our weaknesses, he is with his church. He will never desert his church. And that is our glory and our confidence, that we rest on Jesus Christ and Him alone. He is with us. Remember that He is always with us. But how is He with us? Oh, it's very well to say He is with us, but how do we know? How do I go to experience more of that present reality of Jesus Christ among His own churches? Oh, we are told here how it is. It's very interesting how it is put to us here. Have you noticed, even in the reading, or you know this book already, how insistent it is upon one word, and that is right. 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 Why is that? Why is he all the time saying right? Because this, how God comes to us now, He comes through His written word. Christ is with His church through His word, through the Holy Spirit. He talks about John being there in the Lord's day in the Spirit, and he writes, with His word, God is with us now as well. He is with His churches as we have His own word with us. That's how we relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a mystical leap. It is not just something that I feel God is with me. Oh, we thank God for feelings. We thank God when we experience of His presence, felt Christ. We love that. But He is with us by His word. And that's why John writes the seven letters. He writes these seven letters. And what do we find in those letters that is so good? Well, it comes. And it's a personal word. We take this for granted. That the Lord Jesus Christ comes and He has a word for His own churches. And you know, we have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the glory of Christianity. Have you ever thought about that? I'm sure you have. This is not just a philosophy. This is not just morality. It has to do with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have that? That comes from His word. We hear His word by the Spirit in the Bible. He comes to us in personal terms. Don't we say that to ourselves often? We need to remind ourselves often of that. This is a personal relationship that we have with Jesus Christ Himself. That is Christianity. Oh, we know this in our life. I like how it is put by Paul when he says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you know something of that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? That is Christianity. And He comes to His own churches, and He writes to them personally. And we have that in the Bible. He is with us, my friends. And through His word, He comes to us, and He's ruling us as the exalted Christ shall be with Him one day, reigning victorious with Him in His own presence. He rules by His word in His church. And that word is also appointed word, appointed word. When you read those letters, what do we find there? It goes to the heart of the matter. It tells the situation as it is. Oh, you think you are very well, Laodicea, but you are not very well. You are not very well. And how we need to thank God that His word is pointed. It tells us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear from God. That's why we need to be expounded to the word, exposed to the word, because we need to know what God says of ourselves. That's why we go to the world. And that's how Jesus Christ is ruling in his churches right now in our midst. And the other thing we say about that word, it is a powerful word. It is a powerful word. It has power to save people, power to change people. That is the glorious thing about God's word. We know it is a power that will change people. As we come to grips with God's word, the Holy Spirit is with his word and comes to us, and we are convicted of our sin. We realize we are lost. We realize we need to come to Christ. And as we, as churches, we've done something wrong, we are going the wrong way, then he comes to rebuke us and to bring us back to himself. This is an encouraging word that comes from God, the power of God to lift us up when we find ourselves in great difficulties. And that's how we come, therefore, to endure. Jesus Christ is with his own people. And therefore, what is the passage telling us is that Jesus Christ is a king. There is a kingdom because there is a king. He is our king. Our king. And we need to remember all the time that he is our king. We are now enduring for the sake of his own kingdom. But one day, all of us, all who have trusted in Jesus Christ, all that know, all that have trusted in that blood that cleanses us from all our sins, we shall be ruling triumphantly for him. The other face of the kingdom is coming to us as well. We need to be looking for that. This is what Revelation is bringing to us. The time is near. The time is approaching. The Lord Jesus Christ will come at his own appointed time, and we shall be with him. He is king. No man is king. Jesus Christ is the only king. Is he your king? My friend, remind yourself that he is your king evermore, that he will not leave you nor forsake us. A king has the power that to keep his realm. That's what we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will do with his own people. He has promised to do that, and he will do it. He will not lose his kingdom. Not a single one of the citizens of this kingdom will be lost. And as we face, therefore, this world with all the uncertainties, as we face the reality of our lives and the difficulties that are to be found there, as we are Christians, we live in the sights of this reality of this kingdom. That we know it's ours. We've been washed in that blood. We know it's ours because we are enduring. We go on, whatever happens, in spite of our failures, in spite of our fainting, we go on. We get up and go on because God, Christ, is with his churches. Therefore, let us look at life from this angle. From the reality of what John is bringing to us in Revelation. There is suffering. There is need to be patient endurance. But there is a kingdom that will stand forever. May our King receive all the praise and all the honor, because he's King and he is with us ever. Amen.